Now broadcasting the webcomic beacon.
Hello and welcome to episode 220 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. I'm Fess, and I am severely late today. And with me, my co-hosts who are here way before me, including Tanya Higgins of daisiesandshit.com. Welcome.
Hello, hello.
And Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome.
Well, hello there.
This this episode of the Webcomic Beacon, something that as we are trying to do in addition to our typical try to find a topic episodes, it's a feature episode, and right now we're featuring Yamino of the webcomic Sister Claire at SisterClaire.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. Nothing really. This is probably the most special thing that's happening today, so I've been looking forward to it.
Good.
Awesome. And for those people that out there that may not know about this webcomic right now, could you give us a little rundown of about what Sister Claire is?
Okay. Sister Claire is about an immaculately pregnant nun who is given her mission by this blue angel in a business suit who comes out of a toilet. And the story just gets weirder from there. It has a lot of religious themes and mythological themes, but it deals with them in kind of a playful, tongue-in-cheek way. It's hard for me to describe the comic without people thinking that it's meant to be a dig on Catholicism or something. It's, I don't know. I think the visuals speak better than words in this case.
You're bringing up the question I wanted to ask for a long time. Okay, so you're saying it's not a dig?
No,
because it seems like I can't quite tell if it's supposed to be somewhat sarcastic. Maybe you know.
Well, it's meant to be funny and tongue in cheek, but it's not meant to be an insult. I mean, I was raised in Catholic schools, so.
Well, so was I, but
that was my first question I was going to ask. You went to Catholic school, didn't you?
Yeah. If I didn't, I never would have written this comic.
I see it as irreverent, but not insulting. I mean,
if I wanted to be insulting, I would make it so much worse. But that's really, it's not the point. And I think that anybody that reads the comic knows that it's not meant to be an insult.
Well, you did have like sexy dudes and stuff in like recently, and then of course the blue angel, I'm assuming Gabriel, kind of all sexied up and everything. So that's when the kind of the juxtaposition comes in. It's like,
from an American perspective, you guys have kind of puritist ideals and you think that sexy is like bad or evil or something, but I've more of a European background and we sex up everything over here and it's not really considered like anti-good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I need to move to Europe.
Yeah. We're a little...
I don't know if the Pope would...
Ooh, well.
I with Gabrielle in particular, I felt like there are so many sexy villains, but it's hard to find like a good mentor character. Well, now that I've said that, you're probably going to list like 10. But they're more rare, you know, to have like a good character that's sexy. Because sexy is usually used as kind of like an evil trait somehow, and that bothers me.
Well, we did have a show with what is it? The Lana. What's it? We determined that Vixen was basically an evil hottie. What was a good hottie? What was the word for that?
I can't remember the good hottie word. Which should tell you something right there. They're not perverse.
Yeah, see, there aren't very many. Usually, all of the sexy terms for women are derogative.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that. Yes. Yeah. I think, you know, from my perspective, if...
Femme fatale.
femme fatale, which again, fatale, that's not exactly positive.
That's not really good. Yeah, that's
maybe a sexy protagonist. We'll use that.
Yeah,
word.
But it also attaches sex appeal with being deadly. I mean,
yeah, I suppose,
or a sashy,
not necessarily
sashy femme.
I see. I can see it as irreverent. If I think basically, if you're going to be offended, you're going to be offended. But I didn't come across that way intentionally. I think if you're uptight, you'll probably be offended anyway.
I think if people come to the comic looking for something to be offended by, they will find it eventually.
The idea of the Archangel Gabriel as a hot chick offends you, don't show up.
Yeah, I've never gotten any comments to that effect, though, so I'm glad that she hasn't offended anyone so far.
I got a Constantine question from the movie.
Oh, I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know if I can answer.
In general, is Gabriel supposed to be an it or a girl or a guy?
It's supposed to be an it. Biblically, angels have no sex.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you see, the mistake a lot of people have made with my comic is assuming that I'm going by the quote-unquote rules of religious texts and stuff. I'm kind of, you know how accurate Xena was to Greek mythology? That's kind of what I'm doing with Christian mythology. It's kind of like, whatever works, but if I want to make someone blue, what the heck, I'm going to make them blue. Like, there's some decisions I made without any real reason, just because I thought it was a good idea at the time, and then I came up with the reason behind it later, and that's kind of how it evolved.
Yeah. And I appreciate that. I think it would lose a lot of the whimsy, and it is very whimsical. I really appreciate both your writing and your artwork.
Thanks. Do you want to know the reason why Gabrielle is blue? Because a couple people ask me that, and I give a different answer every time, but this is the real reason.
Oh, I want to know the
real exclusive
reason. The reason why Gabrielle is blue is because I was working on the first ever colored picture of her in Photoshop one time, back when this was like a class project where we had to come up with a concept for a comic. And while I was working on the picture, I accidentally inverted the colors, and her skin was blue. And I was like, I like that better. So I just kept it like that.
Happy accidents.
Yeah, that's kind of how Jules Rivera came up with her coloring style. It was basically she did oops with the color sequencing on the first story.
Nice.
Awesome. A happy little accident. A happy little cloud and a friendly little tree.
Wait, let's paint a little happy bush over here.
Those are my favorite. I love Bubby.
They're so fun to draw. That's another thing that a couple people acted kind of iffy about, like, because the Bubble Boys are naked and they're anatomically correct. And some people were like, I don't know if you should be showing that in a kid's comic. I'm like, whoever said this was a kid's comic? Just because it's cute. This is the internet. I can do what I want.
If they thought that was a child's comic, they have larger problems.
Yeah.
Oh my, with the demons and the pregnant nuns. I mean, it's not perverse, but reads it.
And I don't think that naked babies are offensive. And if anyone is like turned on by a naked baby, they are screwed up. Like, that's not porn to me. So I don't see how anybody could see it that way. I don't know.
I don't like naked babies anyway. I mean, all I see naked baby.
I hope you're never a father then, because you're going to see.
Oh, I hope I'm never a father either.
You're expecting the wife to change the diaper the whole time.
No, if I see a naked baby, I'm like, oh, there's going to be a mess somewhere. Somewhere all over the place.
They're
the only babes I'm interested in were born 24 years ago. Same.
I didn't hear that.
I think happy for that. Wow.
No, I think I get what he's trying to say, because they're now 24.
Actually, I did do some sketches that I haven't posted of like adult Bubble Boys, and they're still just as naked and clueless, but I thought maybe that was too, I don't know. I didn't post those. If people have a problem with like naked Bubble Boys when they're babies, I don't know what they'd say about the adult ones.
Well, now in the Atlantis storyline, you had the little side, the side one where they're, you know, deciding like different things that she could make the bubbles, and that was half of the naked bubble man.
Somebody did a fan comic where Claire is asking Gabrielle if she can make anything else with the bubbles, and she ends up accidentally making like this super muscular body with a cat head because both of them put their ideas together or something. I thought that was funny.
Oh god, I remember that. It was creepy.
I was seriously disturbed when she squashed the first bubble boy. The bubble boy.
It was meant to be disturbing. It's a horrific moment. She didn't mean to squish it.
You did an excellent job there. I very much appreciated that. It still managed to be funny, even though it was this cute little thing that was horrifically destroyed. So
it's okay. They're expendable.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a couple of things that you wanted to discuss. And you have a long summary on your site saying of how you came up with the creation of Sister Claire. Would you mind going over a bit of an abridged version of that, just kind of a rundown of how you came up with this?
Okay. Well, I've always had comic ideas that had characters very similar to Claire as the protagonist. And that character has kind of evolved several times, and I never really started those comics. And finally, when I got this class project where we had to come up with a comic, and there was so much detail we had to go into, like we had to fill out forms on the character describing every little facet of their personality. And I was like, I think I'll use this character for there. And the original idea for Sister Claire, or one of them, because it went through several different versions. But I remember one of the versions was actually a group of nuns instead of just one. There was like a group of five nuns, and they were kind of like Power Rangers. Like they each had a different like power that related to their patron saint or something. And the Sister Claire one, her patron saint was Saint Francis of Assisi, who's like friends with all animals or whatever.
Yeah.
So that was her power. And I kind of kept that theme when I started Sister Claire with her and the cats. Oh yeah, an evil cat was originally a chameleon. Like an evil chameleon.
How does and, become a cat?
I think it's just because I like the design for the cat better. Like I doodled the cat and I was like, this looks cooler than the chameleon. But the idea behind the chameleon was because I wanted the main villain to be related to the biblical Lilith. Like, do you guys know?
Uh-huh.
And
give a rundown though, in case people don't, because especially here in America, where there's a very Christian background, that's sort of considered heresy.
Lilith was Adam's first wife, and they cut her out of the Bible because she was too feminist. And that's my opinion. I'm pretty sure that's why.
Yeah, she tells Adam to bug her off, and she's going to...
Yeah, because basically Lilith was created as Adam's equal. And I'm not exaggerating. This is really the reason why she left the Garden of Eden, because she wanted to be on top, and he wouldn't let her. Quoting this. And so then Adam was all alone again. He started whining to God. He was like, God, Lilith ran away. Go get her. And so God sent these angels after Lilith, who had been... making demon babies in the meantime. And they're like, hey, Lilith, you should come back to the Garden of Eden and let Adam be on top. And she's like, hell no. And they had this big battle with like her and her demon babies, and they killed all of her babies. And so she was really upset, and they couldn't bring her back. And so Adam was like, I'm still lonely. Make me one that does what I want her to do. And so then Adam made Eve from his rib, and she was submissive like women should be. And
so,
in my mouth.
Wait, what book is this found in? What scroll?
The Dead Sea Scrolls.
Really? Yeah.
Well, it was left out of the Bible by the Councils of Trent and Nicaea, who actually put it together in its current form. They left Lilith out because, well, she's not a very good role model for women who need to do what they're told.
Because she disobeyed God and disobeyed Adam and made demon babies.
And my favorite thing about Lilith is she walked out of the garden on her own. She's like,
yeah, wait. The
life.
Best part of the story is not, I haven't told the best part. Okay.
Oh, go.
So, and a lot of religious paintings, like in the Sistine Chapel and stuff, the snake that gives the apple to Eve is not just a snake. It's a woman with the body of a snake, a naga, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I attribute this to Lilith because she was supposed to have all these demon associations and like reptilian associations. It makes sense that that was actually her role. And since they cut her out of the Bible, they just said, oh, it was Satan, you know. But I think that in the original, that was actually supposed to be Lilith coming back. And my interpretation of the story is that she was trying to enlighten Eve and be like, hey, you're a tool. If you eat this apple, you'll be smart and you'll realize what a tool you are. And you can leave the garden too.
I like that.
So in my version, it's kind of like she's sort of a feminist character. But, you know, everybody has their own interpretations. I do plan to keep this character in Sister Claire somehow. I've just changed her a lot. You guys might have seen the Lady Naga pictures that I was posting earlier.
Yeah.
I'm going to incorporate her as this Lilith Naga character eventually.
Ready?
Inspired by that.
That's brilliant.
So yeah, spoilers.
Well, we're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna come back to that subject forthwith.
Okay.
Is that the right word?
Forthwith.
Sure.
Sure. Okay, we'll go with that. We'll be right back.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
The hell? Slipped into
it
Shakespeare.
Could have been a force.
Hey, well, Shakespeare made up words, and now we use them today. So I can make up words too. Damn it.
Okay, but that one isn't made up. That's a real word.
Yeah, he made it up, though.
No, he didn't make up forthwith.
I don't care.
He made up contractions. Wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't.
Ivan't.
Yes.
Data could.
Not really.
Actually, he could look up a Star Trek. Mistakes, and there's like five parts or something like that, and they show
him. That's right. Yeah, he snuck a few in, didn't he?
Yeah, by accident, and all these other. Anyway, moving on. so there's two reasons why I want to bring this next part up. One reason we'll get off right off the bat would be if you have something of art, you should probably add a watermark to it to avoid it being stolen. Two. This has happened to you, and also, it was also promoted by Lady Gaga herself on her Twitter, so, please.
Oh, you're talking about the telephone
yes,
poster.
Yes, tell us about that.
Okay, well, I drew the telephone poster the day Telephone came out. I was so excited when I saw the music video. I was like, this is amazing. It's more than a music video. It's like a mini movie.
Yeah.
A movie, and the music was just kind of a part of it, but it didn't even actually tell the story. Like, the real emphasis was on the story, and I love that because it's so rare to find music videos that actually have some kind of a meaning and a story to them other than just like sexy people dancing.
Yeah.
And I love like all the inside jokes and stuff. Like, you guys know in Sister Claire, I'm a big fan of putting like little Easter eggs and things. And Lady Gaga does that too. Like, with everything, I just love, like, it gives it so much rewatching value, you know, to be like, oh, those are her heartbeats headphones that person's wearing. Ha ha. I see that inside joke. Or like, oh my God, that's her sister. Lady Gaga's sister was in the video. And I didn't realize it until like the third time watching it. I was like, dude. That's so cool. So after I watched that video, the very next day I was supposed to be going to this big convention in the Netherlands, which is about a 6-hour ride away because I have to take two trains to get there. And even though I had to get up really early for this train, I was like, I got to draw a picture right now. Sometimes I just get like in the mood to draw, and I can't sleep until I get this drawing out. And so I stayed up until 5 in the morning drawing this telephone poster. And then I got up really early at like, I think I only got 3 hours of sleep so that I could get up early and print the poster before getting on the train to go to this convention so I could sell the posters at the convention. And so I did, and I slept on the train. And, the next day when the convention was supposed to start, because I got there a day early so I could check into the hotel and everything. And the next day, right before the convention was supposed to start, I wanted to check my email really quickly just to see if there were any like new comments on Sister Claire pages or something. And when I went to check my email, I had like 3,000 emails. And I was like, my God, I've been hacked. Like, I felt this chill, like in my chest. I was like, oh my God, something horrible has happened. Why do I have a million emails? And then most of them were like, so-and-so has added you on Twitter, like a billion people added me on Twitter. And it was like all these comments that were like, congratulations, congratulations. I'm like, what happened? Am I getting married? And I don't know. And then I had this hunch. And I went to check Lady Gaga's Twitter, and there, the last two tweets she'd made were about my post. I was like, oh my God, you guys. And I called everybody who was in the room, like, I think Lady Gaga saw my poster. They were like, whoa. And then I only got to look at my emails for like 1 minute, because then I had to rush out and start selling my posters because the convention was starting. And I was just, it was eating away at me all day. I was so excited, and I had no internet access. I couldn't read what people were saying. And I was just staring at the poster, like at my little desk where I was selling my stuff, and I was noticing every mistake in it. And I was like, I can't believe 3 million people are looking at this, and there are so many errors on it. Why does the one picture I draw that goes viral have to be the one that I stayed up until 5 in the morning drawing, and I only spent like 3 hours on it? I did it in such a rush.
It's brilliant, though. It's good.
Well, thank you.
I'm sure you see the errors far more than anyone else does anyway.
It was good enough for Lady Gaga, so I should.
Yeah. And yes. It got stolen.
Yeah, a couple of times people have taken the image. See, because I was stupid. I didn't realize that. I mean, you never think something is going to go viral. So I stayed up late and worked on it. I posted it, and I forgot to put any signature or watermark or anything on it. But it wasn't a really high-res picture, so you'd be able to tell if somebody was printing it illegally, okay, because it would be all pixelated and gross. Mm-hmm. If you want to buy a high-quality version, you should buy it from Torpedo Co. and support me, because they're kind of judging my worth based on the sales of this poster. If this telephone poster sells well, even if you don't care about Lady Gaga but you care about Sister Claire, you should get the poster, because then they'll consider selling my Sister Claire stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's how they determine who their clients are going to be. So
yeah,
it's worth it.
But it was so great, because I've been trying for so long to get with Torpedo Co. Like, I just love every artist on there.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's been kind of a dream to be like part of that club of awesome people. And I've submitted like several times to them, and they were always like, oh, well, we're full up for this year. You know, we have no more space right now. And I'm like, oh, I see. I understand.
Yeah.
And then they gotta, like, hey, Lady Gaga tweeted my poster. Do you think maybe you could print it? Because I want to print it with somebody I really trust. And they were like, oh, yeah, I think we could do that. Like,
I think so. You got to understand that some people do have standards, but they don't really want to be vocal about where that standard is and all that sort of thing. And you know, and you can't really hold that against people, you know, whether or not that is their real thing. But it does happen. I just do want to mention that for anybody out there. Sometimes it's just a polite way of saying no to some people. And I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in general, because some people do get that mentality. I mean,
their business model really is for it. They look at traffic. They look at how many people, you know, are actually going to buy this before they'll approve it. So it's not so much their personal taste, even, as much as it is.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think it was reflecting the artwork. I think they were looking at my view counts and stuff.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I'm no Kate Beaton. So
yeah,
I get where they were coming from.
Welcome to my world.
Oh,
well, you just don't. But you're not applying anywhere. You're not doing anything. You're not advertising.
No, I'm not applying.
You kick your butt
anywhere.
Anywho, those who are watching right now, we are entirely on Ustream right now. You can check out the Webcomic Beacon at ustream.tv channel. /channel/the-webcomic-beacon, or just go to our website at webcomicbeacon.com/live and click the Ustream link, and you can watch right now. There's not really much as video wise, but right now you can actually see the art that Yamino did do for this show. But of course, if you go to her DeviantArt, which is at, where is it?
Yamino.deviantart.com, I think.
You can see the full version.
Just search Yamino on DeviantArt, you'll find it.
And you'll find it. You see the full version there and her other art as well. And you have you got a charity thing going on or coming up?
Yeah, I started a project called the Webcomic Charity, and Jay Gray from Mysteries of the Arcana helped me a lot with that because he's run a webcomic charity before. I've run into some problems, though, because I was hoping to partner with Kiva, the microloan organization that we had chosen as our charity. But they wrote back and they said that they would not be able to handle the printing and mailing, even if I offer them a commission to do so. Okay. And that makes it a lot more complicated because I don't want each artist to... I'll basically explain in a nutshell what the webcomic charity is before I get into this. The webcomic charity, the idea behind it started when, in December, as part of a contest, I started mailing out postcards of Sister Claire, like, because I was in Hawaii and I was having this winter contest, and everybody who submitted got a personal postcard from Claire and Gabrielle. Like, I drew the postcard and I printed them out, and then I hand wrote a message from Claire and Gabrielle on all of them and mailed them out. And people really liked it because it's kind of unusual to get in-character stuff.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun for me, too. And I thought, what if I could do this on, like, a grand scale? This is just the tip of the iceberg. And so I started contacting other webcomic artists, and they all were really interested in the idea. But the problem I ran into is how to handle the printing and mailing of all of them, because it's... Well, a lot of the artists don't want to pay for the printing and the mailing themselves. And so I thought we could use a cut from, like, the donations to do that. But then the problem is, if we have one person doing all the printing and mailing, how are we going to get handwritten messages? Like, we'd have to mail the cards back and forth twice.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking now we're going to just have to have a pre-written message. Like, the artist will write an in-character message, and it'll be printed on the back of the postcard. It's not as personal, but the whole point is to save money for charity, and we're kind of missing the point if we're mailing the cards back and forth, you know, and wasting money on that.
Right.
So it looks like that's what we're going to do.
And where is the money going?
The money is going to go to Kiva, which is a micro lending organization for people in third world countries who need to start businesses and things like that. And the beauty of Kiva is that it's not really a donation. Like, you give them the money and then they're supposed to pay it back to you. So you can keep reusing the money that you earned for this to support other people.
Right. So yeah, your $5 donation, you know, to Kiva, instead of just being used up like it is with some other charities, it's loaned, especially, people in small communities, small cultures, villages, where they use that to start businesses, produce something for their community, it stabilizes the economy, and then they pay back that money, and then you take that money and put it back in the Kiva.
Yeah,
so it keeps going. Your $5 keeps going.
Something that one of my readers brought up, though, is that because Kiva is technically not really a donation, I'm not sure if it'll be tax deductible. But
it's typically not,
yeah,
because it's considered a loan and not a,
and even so, the people would be paying the money to me first, not directly to Kiva. So I don't have a charity status. So yeah, but I'm hoping, I mean, this is the first time I've ever organized a project like this. So I'm learning as I go, and I'm hoping that if it goes along well, I can make it an annual thing once I've figured out how it all works.
Yeah. Well, and here in the States, just to keep in mind, everyone, you can donate up to a certain amount without receipt. So you could always say, you know, that you donated it.
Yeah.
Up to a certain amount. Be sure you look that up if you're going to try to, you know,
last year it was
claim certain things. Yeah.
It does change.
Okay. I'll look that up.
Yeah, because
I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, you're across the pond, so there's other things
but
to
I'm
worry about.
But I'm kind of like Carmen Sandiego. I'm always in a different country, so they'll never catch me.
I noticed that. I noticed that you are you in Belgium currently?
Yes, right now I'm in Brussels, Belgium. But when this call ends, I will be in another country. No, I'm just kidding. yeah, I. Do you want me to talk about why I moved.
Sure, might as well.
It's mostly for my mom's job. Like, okay, I was born in Rome, Italy. A couple people think that when I say I was born in Rome, they're like, oh yeah, I have relatives there. I'm like, no, not the one in Georgia, the one in Italy.
Like Rome, Wisconsin, or...
Yeah. I was born in Rome, and my mom is American and my dad's Italian. And when I was 6 years old, we moved to California, which is where my mom's from. And I lived there for 8 years until ninth grade. I did ninth grade in California, but then I had to redo ninth grade when we moved to Vienna, Austria, because it's like a different system. And it was the International Baccalaureate, which is a lot harder than like American public school, apparently. And we moved there because my mom got a job with the UN. She was the treasurer of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And then I went to college in Savannah, Georgia, because they were the only college I could find that offered a course in sequential art, in other words, comics. I was seriously considering going to a school in the UK, but I changed my mind because I was like, oh, that looks too fine arts for me. I don't want to do oil painting. I want to do comics. So I'm really glad that I picked Savannah because I love that school. And yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. And then I graduated. And now I'm kind of crashing with my parents this year because my mom got a new job working at NATO. She's the treasurer of NATO now. And I'm looking forward to doing my master's degree in Plymouth, Britain this fall. Nice. Yeah. So that'll be another culture shock. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Not too much of one.
Definitely not as big of a culture shock as moving from Austria to Savannah, Georgia. I mean, it was
I think that'd leave a mark. Like, I think
that'd leave a scar.
But Britain shouldn't be too bad. So,
and I already have like online friends there, like Sister Claire readers who are like, oh, we should go hang out and get bubble tea when you move here. I was like, yay,
bubble tea.
Something they don't have in this godforsaken country.
Maybe I missed it in your map pinning of where you've been. Where are you originally from?
I was born in Italy.
Okay,
but I consider myself Italian American equally because I've technically lived in Europe longer than the U.S., but I kind of grew up mostly in the U.S., I guess.
So what's your actual nationality? As in the country, you have dual citizenship.
I'm Italian-American. I have two passports. Yeah.
Fun. Cool.
It's useful, too, because when you go to countries like Turkey, where it costs like a lot more for Americans to get in, I just flash my Italian passport. I pay like 10 euro instead of 40.
Cheater!
Or like when I come to Europe and I don't want to get like frisked and harassed by security guards, I show my EU passport and they're like, come on in.
Nice.
But the one time I forgot my Italian passport, they were so mean to me. Like in security, they're like, why are you here? And I'm like,
quick, flash the American one.
No, oh, that's what I did. One. I showed the American one, and then they were mean to me.
Oh, weird.
You don't want to show the... We're jerks. You don't want to show Bush that years. Anywhere
that
but
must
here.
Have been the Bush years.
Yeah.
It was actually last year. I think the guy was just having a bad day.
We're jerks. I know a lot of people who've gone overseas, and I always feel sorry for the countries they visited. We have this bizarre mentality. A lot of the people that I know who've kind of toured other countries seem to have this bizarre mentality. Like, that's what the other countries are for, is for Americans to visit.
Oops.
Like, that's their purpose. I wouldn't like us either.
Something that really bothers Europeans and non-Americans in general is when Americans go to another country and they just start speaking English to locals and they expect you to understand.
Yeah.
And when they don't, you start speaking louder and slower.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's really nice.
I'm Belgian. I'm not deaf. Okay.
Or stupid. Neither deaf nor stupid. Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? I mean, I don't want to like make any enemies through this, but I've noticed that a lot of the French speaking people here in Belgium have that same sort of American attitude that everybody should speak French. And it's hard. because I understand French pretty well, but not when they speak it really fast. And when I ask them to please speak slowly, they just repeat the same thing and they don't slow down at all. Like, they're angry at me for not knowing French. I'm like, that's why I have more Dutch speaking friends, because all Dutch people speak English because they don't get anything translated. They get stuff in English with subtitles, so they learn it pretty fast. Whereas French people get everything in French. They never have to learn any other language.
Yeah. Now, most of Belgian there is is bilingual, is it not? I mean, just in the schools?
By law, they have to have all the signs in Brussels in French and Dutch, and all of the instructions on every, like, prepackaged food and everything is in French and Dutch.
Right.
But most Dutch people I've met are trilingual. They speak Dutch, French, and English pretty fluently. And the French people pretty much speak only French.
Often. Poo on them.
I'm generalizing here. It's never good to generalize. I love French people. I'm not trying to, you know, piss anyone off.
Experience.
It's just something I've noticed living here.
Yeah. We've heard similar things from Canadians, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Around Quebec, so.
I mean, it's the same thing with Americans. When you get everything in English, why would you bother learning other languages? It's seen as, like, really special if you bother learning another language. It's like, oh, you didn't need to learn whatever. That's really smart of you or something. I don't know.
There's an odd thing in America where if you speak more than one language, you're somehow, like, extra intelligent, whereas most of the world is at least bilingual.
The standard, it's like, you only speak one language. Oh,
really? Are you slow? Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Well, all right.
Anyway,
wow, we just got way off topic. I'm sorry.
No, that's perfectly normal.
I'm just afraid that now we're not going to get to cover any of the other important things that I was actually supposed to talk about.
Pick something up.
I already kind of looked at everything that you said in your email, and I think we really already touched base on mostly everything. But we do got to take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll see if there's anything left that needs to be discussed, and then we have news and other things.
Okay.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
You're doing well. Don't worry about sidetracking us. That's what we do.
Oh, yeah.
You're doing quite well.
On the Webcomic Beacon podcast, sidetrack you. Sorry.
Wow.
Yakov Smirnoff. There we go.
We know what the comic's about. We know that you're not trying to be insulting to anybody. I think you've done a very good job. We know about the charity.
I think I need to look at my list of things, though, because I know there's some things I'm missing. Oh, I need to talk about how the comic press team helped me out when I got hacked. I need to give them a shout out for that.
Alrighty.
Go for it, because he lies when we go to break.
Yeah, we're back. We've been back.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
Yeah. He's a liar.
Okay. Well, yeah, you guys might have noticed that about, I think it was a month ago or so, there was this massive outbreak of Trojans being uploaded to all the GoDaddy hosted websites with WordPress, including mine.
Yeah.
And it drove me crazy because I got some help from Zerzix and Phil from the comic press team, and they were so helpful, and they got everything cleaned up. And the very next day I was hacked again, and I was like, no. And it happened 3 times in a row, and I was just going insane. I was, like, tearing up my hair over this. I was like, should I just, like, shut down my site and try to start everything from scratch? Because it's like, how are they getting in? And then the news started to come out that it was only happening to GoDaddy-hosted sites. I was like, ah.
Really?
I never liked you, GoDaddy. Yeah, it was. It was apparently something to do with their Apache servers. I learned so much about websites, like, while this happened, you have no idea.
Yeah, it had to do with their Apache servers and the firewalls that they were using. And
they were out of date. They were running a criminally old version of Apache, like really, really old.
They have fixed those issues now, though, so don't get mad at me.
I fixed my website like 5 times. I was like, a little too soon, GoDaddy. I'm already on a new host.
Yeah.
Never looked back.
I still host with you guys. Stuff. Please don't cancel me.
I host with somebody else, so I don't have to care. But I register them.
Yes, the Rampage Network is hosted on the Rampage. No, the Webcomic Vegan is hosted on the Rampage Network, and
I'm hosted on Dreamhost now, which is apparently one of the more popular hosts for webcomics.
It didn't used to be.
Which host is it?
Dreamhost.
Ah, yeah.
It didn't used to be. It used to be notoriously horrible, 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 horrible.
And really?
I'm talking like '90s.
Yeah,
it was like that was like the one you don't want to be on. I mean, GeoCities was better than Dreamhost back then.
But Dreamhost was still a baby; they were still learning.
So was GeoCities. Everyone was a baby in the 90s on the internet. What
GeoCities
are you talking about?
Remained a baby. Dreamhost grew up.
I just got some really good news from Trav, the leader of my band, which is something else I wanted to talk about. If you guys have time. Our song got chosen as a developer favorite on Rock Band.
Yay! Woohoo! That's awesome.
So is that like being optioned, or is that a for sure in?
I don't know what that means, but apparently it's really good. he just wrote that to me right now. I'm like, dude, I'm live, can't talk right now. And he's like, yes, but our song got chosen as a developer favorite on Rock Band. I'm like, okay, I guess that's a pretty big deal. I'll mention it.
Cool. Yeah. Alrighty.
But for those of you who don't know, I'm the album artist and the singer for a band called Freen and Green.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's the website for that?
The website is, hang on, it's like, we haven't actually bought a URL yet, so it's like freenandgreen.wordpress.com, I think, all one word. Let me check it right now.
Freen and Green, is that the word?
Words? Yeah.
Okay, it's little... All right.
It is. It's Freen, like the word green, but with an F. Freen in Green, all one word, no spaces, period, wordpress.com. That's our website.
All right. We'll get a link to that in the show notes. And let's see here. Well, we do have.
And it's.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say it's interesting how I got involved in this project because Trav, who is basically the leader of the band and our guitarist who kind of organizes all of us, he was a fan of Sister Claire, and he wrote to me asking, like, hey, would it be okay if I made a theme song for Sister Claire? And I was like, yeah, that would be really cool. And then he linked me to some of his work. Like, you know, whenever some random person links you to like their artwork, you have to kind of prepare yourself that it might be really bad. And so I was kind of like, well, let's see. And I clicked on it, and it was so good. He's amazing with an electric guitar. He's just like an electric guitar god. And I was like, please make this theme song. And then he was like, we need some album art. I don't remember exactly how I got hired as the singer. Let's say hired. I'm not making any money. How I got roped chosen. In.
Yeah,
yes. Chosen.
Chosen. There
it sounds special. Not like, no. Chosen.
Volunteered. Elected. Well,
no, I think he had heard me posting like clips of me singing because I do that sometimes when I'm bored. And he asked me if I wanted to be the singer because they didn't have one. I was like, yeah. Awesome. It's like all my dreams come true.
Yeah. Now to eat the world's giant burrito and I'll be content. No.
But seriously, what girl hasn't had this teenage dream of being like in a rock band, being the singer in a rock band? That's awesome.
Me. But I always wanted to be the guitarist, but you know what?
Well, I love to sing and play guitar, but I can't play anything.
Yeah, I remember back when I was a teen girl. No.
You're still a awesome. Teen girl. You know.
Alrighty. So, wow, you got lots of things going for you, it seems.
Yeah, I have so many projects.
And you should. You're incredibly freaking talented. The rest of your life should be perfect.
I hope so. Now you've jinxed it.
You son of a bitch.
I don't have those powers. Yeah, right. No. The universe doesn't listen to me, I promise.
Yeah, we have a podcast. We decide who lives and who dies. No.
Speaking of other projects, another thing I wanted to talk about was Nightingale. Have you guys seen the concept art for that on DeviantArt? I've also posted a bit of it on Sister Claire.
I have. I'm trying to... Let me see. Now I can't find it. Tell us about it. Tell us about the project.
So the project started when I was still in college, and I had this class called comic covers. And basically the whole class was about drawing different styles of comic covers. And one of the projects was superhero comic cover. And this was the project I'd been dreading because, as a lot of my friends know, I'm not really into superheroes. And the whole genre is kind of, I don't know, it doesn't speak to me. And when I got this project, I tried to think of why I don't like superheroes and what kind of cover would make me pick up a superhero comic cover. Because if you can get me to pick it up, that says a lot.
Yeah.
And I realized that it was because the majority of superhero comics are about guys in tights in New York City. And I'm not really interested in that. Like, I would like a European superhero and like a female protagonist who isn't totally sexed up. Because whenever there's like a girl superhero, she always has to have like huge boobs and yeah.
It's anatomically impossible boobs and yeah. Straight on costume.
Like, look at Power Girl. I mean, that became like an inside joke there. So
yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then I was also thinking of, if there were any disabled superheroes, and I know about Daredevil, but I'd seen the movie and I read a little bit of the comic and I was kind of annoyed with how unrealistic he is because it's obvious they didn't research blind culture at all. And yeah. I've actually been really interested in blind culture because I had a role play character that was blind. And so I did a lot of research to try to make her accurate. And I've also had a couple of blind friends. And so when I was reading Daredevil, I was like, that is not what a blind person would do, and like that is so unrealistic. And I mean, blind I know dudes. I'm reading a superhero comic, and I'm kind of missing the point by saying that's not realistic. But
no, you're not. It was bad writing.
Well, I'm sure some people will get mad if I say that. But it,
okay,
it just
I'll say it.
Okay,
bad writing.
Go ahead. I think everybody will agree that the movie was bad. I mean, there probably were some comics that were good, but the movie was just abysmal.
It had Ben Affleck. What more do you need? to be rotten.
What more
does it take, really?
Anyway.
So this cover, I decided to recycle this blind character of mine, this roleplay character, who's this very petite little blind Dutch girl. And she has kind of a passive-aggressive personality. Like, she's very polite, but she's also very proud. And because... The reason she went blind is because she had an illness when she was young, which not only made her blind, but also stunted her growth. And because of that, she looks a lot younger than she is. And she really resents it because she's very intelligent and she's very mature and people treat her like a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
And I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if I made kind of a Daredevil version of her and made it a lot more realistic? And what came out of it was kind of like, if Batman and Daredevil had a little girl, that's Sophie.
Nice.
And I drew this cover, and I hadn't really thought of the story at all, but it kind of started to come together as I was drawing the cover. And it's this drawing of her kind of falling backwards from a very high building into these very Dutch looking rooftops. And I stylized it so it's nighttime and all you can see is like the snow making the outlines of the rooftops.
Oh, it's a brilliant
cover. Thank you. And I just really liked the idea that came to me while I was working on it. I was like, I got to make this comic. And so
we're looking at the cover right now. And my husband dish is like agog.
Oh, agog.
He's agog, mouth open. It's a brilliant cover. It's very dynamic.
Thank you. And, but the problem I had was that I had this character that I really loved, and I love the setting. I love the idea of like a Dutch superhero, because as far as I know, there have never really been any major European superheroes. I think somebody said that Nightcrawler was British or something, but doesn't he usually hang out in New York anyway?
He was British, but
German.
He was brought he was born, you know, he was brought as a baby, as a freak. So he was kind of raised.
Yes, that's kind of cheating.
It is cheating. Yeah.
No, but I want this superhero to be like really Dutch. Like I'm researching Dutch culture. I'm going to be making trips to Amsterdam for photo reference because I want everything to be so accurate that a person who lives in Amsterdam could be reading the comic and go, hey, I've been to that cafe that the characters are eating at. So I'm very excited about this project. And I'm even more excited because a good friend of mine who is an amazing writer teamed up with me on this. Like, I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner, but as I was telling her about the story, I was like, dude, you would be the perfect writer for this because there are a lot of classical music themes. Like music is a big theme because I can't believe I forgot to tell you this earlier, but Sophie's superpower is that she can echolocate with her voice by singing. And there are actually people who can do this, not by singing, but I've seen documentaries about this blind kid who can echolocate like dolphins can by clicking. And he can play basketball. He can skateboard. It's incredible what this guy can do. And I thought if somebody can do that by clicking their tongue, it's not that far of a stretch that someone could do it by singing and become a superhero.
And no, actually, a number of studies were published within the last 5 years on echolocation abilities in humans, and even found that it, with college students, even just being blindfolded for a little while, were capable of basic echolocation in these studies. So
it's really impressive. And not just hearing, but did you know people can actually track scents like dogs can? They've done studies on that too. And I thought I'm not going to give her like super smell or anything, but you know, little things like this are going to come into play in the story. Like she'll be able to find people by the type of perfume they're wearing or something like that. And
yeah. Well, there's also some early research being done into the possibility that we also have magnetic senses like birds for positioning. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
Well, awesome. And good luck with that.
The other main character is going to be her cousin, Emily, who's deaf. And so I've been doing a lot of research into deaf culture as well. I've been lurking around on forums and things like that. Actually, I haven't just been lurking. I've been asking people, what would you like to see in a deaf character that isn't supposed to be like a parody or something, to try to get opinions and things. And I've also been learning American Sign Language. I learned a little bit too late that there's like a different kind of sign language for every country. So I'm going to have to find a reason for her to speak American Sign Language rather than Dutch Sign Language, because I've learned so much of it. I don't want to get into Dutch Sign Language. But there's going to be so many challenges with this story because I have to find a way in a comic to show a blind person and a deaf person communicating because they're best friends. And so I've been researching tactile sign language, like
Helen Keller did.
Yeah. And it's just so fascinating. Like the more I research for this, the more I'm learning about stuff I never think about otherwise. So
I know a couple of kids who communicate through tactile sign language. And so, you know, obviously when they're talking back to the person, they just sign regularly. But then, you know, when you're talking to them, you sign in their hand. And yeah, it's really amazing.
If you can, would you ask them if they would like to get in contact with me about this comic? Because I'm always trying to get in touch with people who actually are.
Yeah,
in,
let me see. I know of a child now. Two of them were in kind of graduating classes, so I need to track them down. But yeah, I'll look them up for you.
Cool.
Yay.
Well, all right. Well, everyone who's listening, first step in designing a character that's not based off of you is research. Research, look it up. Don't just make steampunk and throw in some fancy words. No, just you gotta research Victorian for something like that. You gotta research.
That's something I had a class on comic writing. Actually, I had two at SCAD, and all of our projects involved research. And one of the best ones that we had to do was going out and eavesdropping on people in cafes and stuff. Like literally one class, the teacher was just like, today you guys are going to be spies. And I want you to go out and write down some conversations that you overhear. And then you have to make a comic out of it, because a lot of like amateur comic artists don't really think about it, but when you write a character, you're usually writing them the way that you talk. Mm-hmm. And a good writer has to really get into the mentality of a different person because they don't all talk the same.
No.
And doing little exercises like this really gets you thinking about it.
Yeah, that's very smart. And the detailed character descriptions that you mentioned earlier are very important. I use a program called Celtics, and you know, it has a detailed character breakdown. So, you know, break it all down and know their whole history and know who they are and know how, because then knowing all of that, you'll know how they'll speak. And
yeah, that's, you don't even need like a fancy program. I mean, I just got a text.
This is free.
Yeah. And some of the questions that you have to answer for these, it'll never come up in the story, but it just helps you to like sculpt this character in your mind, you know, like what color underwear does this person like to wear, or what is her favorite food? And like, it might never come up, but the more questions you answer, the more you're building that character.
The same way you would know how a friend would act in a situation, mm-hmm. because you know who they are, it'll hold true for the character too. Absolutely.
Yeah, so just
I often
in case
like
you ever
think
have
of the characters as kind of imaginary
is.
Friends that talk to you in your head.
Yeah. Sometimes they're mean. Mine are mean. I have mean characters in my head. They say
I like watching
things.
Them argue with each other. I mostly stay at it.
I'm currently writing two horror comics, so they're keeping me up at night. They're not
they
nice.
Tell you to burn a house down. Don't listen to them. Okay?
No. They're burning
cleaner.
Me down, which is worse. It's all good.
All right. Well,
let's get back in control.
Yeah, we got to get back to just a couple of bits of news. Actually, we don't have a whole lot of news right now. Somebody did send their comic to us for a review. I must remind people, we are no longer doing reviews. If reviews ever come up in the future, as far as with me, it would probably be a very, very honest and probably I'll start. People will not like me if I ever do it.
We haven't done those in forever, have we?
No, we haven't. I don't know. I started kind of thinking maybe I should start doing reviews of comics again and just go all out and just not sugarcoat things or whatever, you know. But
yeah, because what you need is another project.
Yeah, what I need is another project. Well, maybe this time this one will really go. I don't know. Anyway, so one thing that we always do on our broadcast Sundays of the Webcomic Beacon, which you can check out at webcomicbeacon.com/calendar to see when the next up and coming episode is going to be. Typically on Sundays, sometime between 12 noon Eastern and 3 p.m. Eastern, they will be listed. So you can check that out, but we're also going to check out who's advertising currently on the Webcomic Beacon, Project Wonderful Ads at webcomicbeacon.com. First off, we have Samurai Princess at samuraiprincess.com with our leaderboard. And on our tower, we have Unamused Comics at unamused-comics.com, home of Insert Comic Here, as well as Kimono's Townhouse at kimonostownhouse.com. So there you are. Each Sunday we go over those, the highest bidder and the American North American however freaking Project Wonderful decided to regionize the advertisements for internet is beyond me, but
make money that way.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So aside
it just
from
looks
that,
lower when you look at the individual boxes, but you do actually make more money that way because then you have high bids for each section.
Each country, yeah. Or each region, yeah.
But if you don't want to deal with that, you can basically go to webcomicbeacon.com/advertise and find out how you can sponsor an individual episode. So in any case, we also have t-shirts for sale. You can check that out at webcomicbeacon.com/t-shirts. Get yours today. Only $18. Ship anywhere. And that's it as far as Webcomic Beacon stuff. I did want to mention if people have been noticing the tweets that I've been doing in the past couple of days. I was talking about this webcomic listing site called comiclisting.com. I just want to let everybody know that he, in actually short order of me contacting him in email, he said he was going to look at it. Advertising was secondary in his goals, and the little ad mm-hmm. banner thing that he had for the link out option, he's taken that out completely, and now the link outs go basically directly to the comics websites. So so that's cool. So yes, yet again, another a comic listing site. But you know, if you guys want to check it out, it's at comiclisting.com. And oh yeah, I gotta have a put together another photo comic episode really soon with Arne Schulenberg of Union of Heroes. I forget.
I think it is
Arne. And there's a couple other people that
depends
we want to get on the show.
How good friends you are.
And I do want to mention, I forgot to mention this before, but there is this webcomic called Pure and Hidden Truth. And he's actually doing a spin-off movie. He's doing an independent film called The Peculiars. And you can find more about that at peculiarsmovie.com. It sounds like he's just finishing up casting. And he's hoping to get filming going pretty soon. He also has a Kickstarter going on right now where you can help out and you know, get behind the Kickstarter to help fund the movie.
So it's making a movie based on his webcomic?
Not entirely. Well, it's in the same world. It's in the same universe. And the reason why I'm really excited about this is not just because it's a webcomic. Essentially kind of becoming an independent film. It's going to be the first film appearance of Jenny Everywhere, the open source comic heroine. So she's one of the main protagonists. So that's like, yay! So I'm definitely promoting this film and such. The Webcomic Beacon team here, or the co-host team, could Hello. Possibly have radio work that he will be using in the movie itself.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So I have yet to try to figure out what we're going to, you know, with him, what we could be using it for.
You could host a podcast. Well, not... And I could be like a voice on the radio. And Tanya could be like on a phone sex line. It'd be great.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out like what particular instances he would need something. I'm figuring he might even need just some background chatter of us just blabbing on about nothing related that just might be going on. But we'll see about that.
Sham wow, you'll say wow every time.
Yeah, I'll probably have some fake commercials. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. It should be very cool to follow and check it out. And there's also a Twitter too for it. And I can't find it offhand. But speaking of Twitter, you can follow the Webcomic Beacon on Twitter as Webcomic Beacon. There we go.
You are such a whore.
I am. I have to just put these things in there because not everybody utilizes all these different ways to.
Maybe you should be on the phone sex line.
I was going to say, he's way more of a whore than me.
Oh, God. I'm actually not very social in person.
Well, that's why it's a phone sex line.
Yeah. You don't have to be social in person.
You don't even have to put makeup on.
Nope. Hang around if you're
at these. 1-900-whores are us.
I don't. Aw.
1-900-man-whore.
Well, you can put makeup on if you want, just for yourself, but, you know.
Just to get in the role.
Get in the role.
Apparently, most of those phone sex lines are entirely staffed by Filipino men.
Really?
Is interesting.
How would you know this?
It's an interesting demographic for me.
How would you know this?
It was one of those little factoids that came up.
97% of statistics are made up on the spot.
Exactly, but there was a little expose done on phone sex lines that there was suspicion that many of the women you were speaking to were actually men, and they
outsourced to India, and you have someone from Bangalore. On
apparently,
there.
No, it's the Philippines is a big phone sex line hub, and it's a lot of Filipino men. Kudos, man. I don't want to
talk. If they're good enough to fool people over the phone.
Yeah, rock on. That's hard work. I don't want to.
It's not like it's going to make
Oh, you are so sexy. You be my toy boy.
Filipino, not...
That was like a weird French accent.
Yeah, that's what? French, not Filipino. What are you talking about?
That's Fernando talking.
Fernando, I mean,
that
Fernando
voice sounds a little too
Ista.
Fernandina. There you go.
Fernandina.
Fernando. I don't sound like Brezhnev, no.
Now you're Russian. What's happened to your contractions?
He's changing.
These contractions in
you would sound like Henry Kissinger on the phone second line. That would be sexy.
Whoa.
In Soviet Russia, phone sex you.
Reminds me of a practical joke. I don't know if it's fit for airwaves if they're young.
Oh, we love things that aren't fit for the airwaves.
But like my friend and I in Canada, we used to do these horrible phone, like Skype pranks on people. And she got like a catalog of escorts in Toronto, and we would prank them over the phone. Because we have this inside joke about like Russian ex-girlfriends. And so we called up this escort who had a Russian accent. And we have this inside joke, like anytime you ask a Russian woman, like, is this Olga over the phone? They always say yes. I don't know why. No matter what their name is, they're always like, yes. Well, and then we'd be like, Olga, this is the motherland calling. We want you back. And then we'd hang up. But one
terrible
time she had like this really long conversation with like the Russian female escort. And I was just listening over Skype, trying not to crack up. It was awesome.
Yeah. You must return to the motherland now.
Motherland! All right,
and you can tell that the escort was like really enjoying this. Was like the most entertaining part of her day. Anyway, I'm sorry. Back to your regular schedule.
And that's about it for the webcomic.
He just wants to go
week
to bed. He's tired now.
No, we're running out of tape here. We're on the last legs here.
And tape. We're still on.
Reel to reel.
Cintas.
Wire recording.
Yes. So anyway, Yamino, thank you very much for coming on the show. I wish I was on time, not 20 minutes late. So
you owe me another 20 minutes.
You son of a bitch. and of course, thank you for the art once more. It's really cool and like, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So yeah, I encourage everyone to check that out. I'll link that in the post to go directly to the DeviantArt like it should. So, but okay. Alrighty. So, well, that is all for this week of the Webcomic Beacon. We're not entirely sure what we're doing next week. We might have a day off but to keep on.
We never know what we're doing any week, let's be honest.
But, you know, you can always keep track at webcomicbeacon.com/calendar for all your future Webcomic Beacon episode news and upcoming stuff. I suck at this. Why do I keep doing this? This has been episode 220 of the Webcomic Beacon. I'm Fess of PSIWebcomic.com.
This is Tanya of DaisiesAndShit.com.
This is Mark of AutumnLake.com.
This is Yamino of SisterClaire.com.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at WebcomicBeacon.com.
You know,
I'm glad that you forgot and that it wasn't some horrible emergency.
How can I possibly razz you for this? It's not fair.
No, there's no razzing.
Damn it.